Welcome to A Closer Look. For KSKA, I'm Len Anderson. On A Closer Look, we present in more depth news stories that have appeared on KSKA. Quietly, and so far without the fanfare of a dedication ceremony, the long-awaited Senior Care Center opened at the Providence Health and Services Alaska campus in Anchorage. It's already begun accepting clients and making appointments. Its goal is to help a particular underserved group of health care seekers in the city, namely seniors on Medicare. Because of low federal reimbursement to doctors and health services, many local elders have found it nearly impossible to find a primary health clinic willing to take them on as new patients. Not long before the Senior Care Center opened, I talked with Dr. Tom Hunt, the Physician Chief Executive of Providence's Physicians Services Organization, which runs the clinic. Dr. Hunt began by describing the high number of local seniors without primary health care.
We estimate there are approximately 13,000 Medicare beneficiaries in the Anchorage pool who don't have a primary medical home. There are 27,000 Medicare beneficiaries in the Anchorage Bowl approximately, and we estimate that roughly half of them have a place that they can call their primary care home. So roughly half of that population is without primary care access. And that means that when they need primary care for their chronic illness, for their preventive care, for acute care, they need to access it in less than optimal ways. The primary way, of course, is through the emergency department, which isn't good for anybody. It doesn't represent good continuity of care. Communications are imperfect, and the potential for error because of that imperfect coordination increases. So particularly for the senior Medicare population, but of course for everybody, having a primary care medical home is safe and prudent and respectful and compassionate, and also saves money. For that reason, Providence joined with another effort towards creating a primary care access point for seniors. The other prominent efforts that are happening in Anchorage include the Anchorage Neighborhood Health Center, which is still open to Medicare patients of all ages. And Providence has funded them to some degree so that they can continue that access. Dr. George Rainier has founded a clinic that's also dedicated to providing primary care access for Medicare patients. And then, of course, we'll be the third. The Providence Alaska Family Medicine Residency still accepts some Medicare patients. And many primary care clinicians in town still accept a limited number of Medicare patients. Often they'll accept only relatives or spouses of their established patients, or they'll allow their patients who age into Medicare to continue their primary care access through that private office. But that's inconsistent, and it doesn't provide the volume solution that the community needs. Again, we're trying to solve this problem for 13,000 Anchorage Bowl residents. The problem is less extensive, less acute in the bush or in some other areas of rural Alaska, largely because when you're the only game in town, in Petersburg, say, or in Bethel, it's hard not to accept anybody who comes to your door. But in Anchorage, unfortunately, it's possible to turn people away because there's competition for primary care, and it's easier to take those patients who are in front of you and have other insurance that's better reimbursing.
How long has this project been underway?
Providence launched this project in March, and I should say that this is a large priority for the Providence Board and the Providence Foundation. They asked us to establish this clinic. My first job was to find a physician champion, and that's Dr. Rich Neubauer, who's had a long, established, illustrious career, not just here in Anchorage as a primary care physician and chief of internal medicine at the Native Medical Center, but also on the national stage as the leader in the American College of Physicians, which is the trade group for internists, as a leader of their board of governors. So Dr. Neubauer has been with us for the last several months, establishing the policies and procedures, the sites, hiring the staff, and preparing us to open next.
What is the size of the staff and what's the range?
At this point, we have three clinicians, two internists, and a nurse practitioner. We anticipate adding another internist in April. We have an RN, a registered nurse, and two certified medical assistants, a front desk receptionist. And then, of course, there's a large support staff around them throughout the institution that can support them to do what they need to do. And that's one of the opportunities that arises for us as part of a larger healthcare institution. Because unlike running a small private practice, as a larger institution, we have the support of coding and compliance team and a regulatory team and a legal team. And some of those resources that our primary care colleagues in an independent practice can't muster. And that's one of the reasons why private practice has a hard time keeping up with Medicare. So we can support this effort in ways that are hard otherwise to do. This is not a financially viable venture if looked at on its own. In our first year, based on the staffing that I've outlined, we expect to need a subsidy of about $400,000. In our second year, after some of the ramp-up costs of starting the clinic are amortized, we'll still expect to be needing a subsidy of about $250,000. And that's because Medicare, on a per-visit basis, reimburses lower than you can support the staff of a clinic. Again, looked at in a larger institution, we get some return on investment through additional studies that are done here on the hospital campus, through better coordination into and out of the hospital, through use of other specialists who are here on campus. And so what we anticipate is that by offering this service in the context of a larger healthcare institution, we'll be able to provide a superior service for patients in moving them in and out of the system as effectively and safely as we can. And we expect to realize a little bit of cost savings, again, that private practices can't quite realize in that some of the studies and ancillary services are provided here on campus.
And perhaps a little saving from the fact that individuals would come to the clinic instead of the emergency ward?
Correct. If we can keep people out of the emergency department, it's good for patients, not just those seniors who can now get care through the senior center, but also by decongesting the emergency department, it allows them to attend to higher levels of illness and trauma.
Does this mean then that some of the funding will be actually covered either through grants or just Providence providing a community service?
This clinic will lose money. Some funding for some of the capital acquisitions, just to buy an EKG machine perhaps, or to help paint a new clinic. Some of that will come through donations, through the Providence Foundation, because their board felt very strongly about opening up access for seniors. But that's a small amount. There's otherwise no grant funding towards running this clinic. Remember that Providence is a not-for-profit, faith-based organization, and by terms of that must give back to the community. And so in lieu of paying taxes, these are the sorts of things that we offer so that the community can be healthier.
You're listening to A Closer Look, a program in which KSKA examines more deeply the subject of a recent news story. Today's program presents Dr. Tom Hunt discussing Providence's new senior care center. Dr. Hunt has overseen the creation of the new facility designed to help some of the thousands of Anchorage's older Medicare clients who are now without a health care home. After discussing the need, staffing, and funding of the center, Hunt turned to its guiding principles and procedures.
One of the differences about how we intend to run this clinic, as opposed to your traditional medical practice, is that we hope to center it, we will center it around the concepts and principles of the patient-centered medical home. The patient-centered medical home is a delivery concept that takes the established primary care relationship to the next level. That means using all staff at the highest level of their abilities. So, for example, nurses to do a higher level of counseling and care coordinating than they might otherwise. to bring in health educators, to bring in behavioral medicine people. So using your staff more effectively through protocols and authorizations that allow them to do things to offload the physician so he or she can attend to other illness management concerns. The other element of the patient-centered medical home that's new and beyond your standard primary care practice is the effective use of an electronic medical record such that we can track our populations, know who's due for what preventive interventions or secondary prevention interventions. And those, for example, are flu shots, mammographies, pap smears, but also the secondary interventions include measures of excellence in diabetes management, say, or congestive heart failure management. The use of an electronic medical record with reminder systems and some of the intelligent prompts that that permits allow us and our empowered staff to do those things that often are forgotten in the course of everyday medical practice. In traditional private practice, especially as reimbursement declines and physicians are obliged to see more patients to keep up the revenue stream, we tend to run from one urgent issue to the next, and practice becomes furious, fast-paced, and sometimes a little bit chaotic. And so what we want to structure into this is a better empowered staff harnessing the intelligence, if you will, of a medical record so that we can accomplish the spectrum of care that all of our patients deserve. Finally, there's an element of care coordination and access to care that needs to be built deliberately into a patient-centered practice. Access being a primary principle for us in that in routine private practice of medicine, we used to pride ourselves on being so busy that you couldn't get an appointment with the physician for 3 months or 6 months or beyond. And for many specialties in Anchorage, that exactly is the case. Whereas in the patient-centered home, we are obliged to and desire to offer access in a prompt fashion, ideally within the day. And that applies as well to transitions in and out of the hospital, by the way. So we are committing ourselves to see our patients upon discharge from the hospital within 72 hours. That'll be our goal, because it's that sort of transition between venues of care where patients can get in trouble, where they're vulnerable to error or neglect or not understanding or medication problems or access to care problems. So access is a major priority, a major principle inside the patient-centered medical home.
Proactive rather than always reactive.
Proactive. I've been in medicine for 20 years, and I know how easy it is to practice according to what I call the tyranny of the urgent. There are always urgent issues in front of us. There is always something that must happen, not just now, but a few minutes ago. And if we merely bounce from one urgent issue to the next, we don't take optimal coordinated care of our patients. The other thing to bear in mind with senior populations is that by default, many of them end up medically complex. They have multiple medical problems. They may have long problem lists. They may have long medication lists and allergy lists and complex medical histories. And most Medicare patients interact with at least, on average, nationally, 10 medical professionals per year. So that's not just one professional 10 times. Those are 10 medical professionals. It may be a physical therapist or a pharmacist as well, but chances are there are 3, 4, 5, 6 individual physicians involved in a patient's care. And that's the national average, is about 10 medical professional contacts a year. So that kind of bouncing between offices is, again, a hazard for patients, and why it's important that we have excellence in coordination and excellence in medical record keeping. So at the Senior Care Center, we'll be using the new electronic health record we're implementing throughout the Providence system. It's called EPIC, and EPIC will be the electronic health record platform for the hospital, for the clinics, for the home health agencies, for the skilled nursing facility, all those facilities that Providence maintains. And we hope that some of our community colleagues will implement EPIC in their offices as well. EPIC likes to brag that 22% of Americans have been touched by Epic. I'd like to emphasize safety. The Institute of Medicine and the Institute for Healthcare Improvements have emphasized patient safety as one of their major goals. And IHI, the Institute for Healthcare Improvement, estimates that up to 100,000 Americans die each year because of medical errors. And those errors are complex systems issues, and electronic health records are one of many efforts designed to reduce the possibility of error in the delivery of health care. And examples would be medication reconciliation. So it's very common that if a senior approaches the emergency department, chances are he or she may not know his medications, and then he or she is admitted to the hospital, and there's an effort to try to figure out what medications the patient was on. During the course of his or her hospital stay, new medications are added, others are taken away, and then the patient is discharged just to start the same medicines that got him or her into the problem in the first place. And that reconciliation from one venue of care to the next is where we have opportunities to improve dramatically. And electronic health records offer some of the cure to that disease. Not all, because systems of care need to be improved, and communications between professionals and across platforms is really where the problem is. But the electronic medical record has a lot to do with patient safety improvements. The other thing that we'll want to be focusing on optimally is patient satisfaction. So the Senior Care Center has instituted a advisory board made up of consumers who we hope will help us deliver a clinical product that's satisfying to the customer. It's something that we don't always think about in medical practice. And in addition to just designing the policies and procedures of a medical clinic, we need to be listening to our clients as to how they want their care delivered, when do they want their care delivered, where do they want their care delivered, how do they access their care. And ideally, if we are responsive to our consumers, we'll achieve not just satisfaction, but safety and engagement and wellness beyond what we often expect in routine medical practice.
That's Dr. Tom Hunt, who oversees Providence's new Senior Care Center, which is designed specifically for older Medicare clients who have not been able to find a local physician or clinic willing to offer them primary care and other services. I spoke to Dr. Hunt just before the center opened. By the way, we'll have contact information for the center at the conclusion of this edition of KSKA's A Closer Look. Dr. Hunt noted that while the need for service is great and the center's future goals involve thousands of seniors, during this initial period, there's also the imperative that the clinic carefully work with each new client, and that process demands time.
We recognize that the need for services is huge, and we must confess that we are only a few clinicians to start here, especially as patients are new. It's hard to process patients in any kind of rapid fashion. So we'll be doing our best to see patients in a respectful way, but spending the time that we need to get their histories and welcome to Medicare exams done safely and prudently. By definition, that can't be done fast. So we expect to be able to serve on the order of 10 to 20 patients a day for our first several weeks, accelerating as we get to know our patients and we learn our systems. This is a brand new clinic for us. The clinicians are brand new with this electronic medical record, and all the patients are brand new to us. So there will be a ramp-up period of several months. If we're successful, we expect our clinicians to be handling about 1,000 to 1,500 patients per clinician, per full-time clinician. And so, again, at 3 to 4 clinicians, we're only talking about serving 4,000 to 6,000 patients by the end of the first year. So that's a chunk of the unmet need in Anchorage, but it's by no means the full banana. We expect that Dr. Rainier's effort, the Alaska Medicare Clinic, will be able to offer at least as much access. And if the Neighborhood Health Center continues to function at a high level, they'll be able to continue to serve some of the Medicare population as well. So if we're lucky and we can grow successfully over the next several years, we should be able to go a long way towards meeting the unmet need. We won't be able to do that in the first several weeks, I'm sorry. And to be honest, safety is a big priority for us. And if we grow too fast and are unable to safely sustain those patients who need us in the long term, that would not be doing them a service and would potentially burn out our clinicians as well. Remember, many of these patients will have chronic medical needs. They'll have blood pressure issues, hypertension, HIV, who knows what chronic illness they may have. And that requires ongoing care and relationship. And we need to be able to build in the time to sustain those relationships and move towards wellness. So again, we won't be able to meet all the need real quickly, but if we grow safely and conservatively, and we can get to 5, 6, 7 clinicians over the next several years, we should be successful in meeting a good chunk of the need.
Are you taking appointments now?
We are taking appointments now.
Is there a priority?
We have been maintaining a wait list for actually several months now, and we are attempting to prioritize that wait list so that initially we can see those patients who have urgent refills or urgent health needs that need to be taken care of for their own safety. We'll prioritize those initially over those who merely need to initiate long-standing preventive health care needs. If we can put those off for a little while, take care of those patients who are vulnerable at the moment, we should be able to handle more need in the long term.
This is something like going to the emergency room and then everyone kind of hopes to be seen right away, but you see someone who comes in who needs attention more.
Yes, this is a subacute triage process. Patients with chronic health needs are very vulnerable for their access to their physicians. If that access is interrupted, whether because of insurance issues or mobility issues or dementia issues, if that access is interrupted, medications can be forgotten, care instructions can be forgotten, and those patients can deteriorate physiologically quickly such that they need hospitalization. And emergency care and hospitalization should be a last resort. It's expensive, it's potentially hazardous, and we want to do our best to take care of primary health care needs where they can be done most effectively and safely, and that's in the primary health care setting, in the ambulatory setting. So we want to prioritize access to care for those patients who have unstable physiologic conditions. Let's get them stabilized first, and then we can move on to our patients who are merely, and I use that word advisedly, merely seeking wellness.
Geographic service area, even the bowl supplies you with more possible clients than one can handle. What about Kenai and the Valley?
We have not been specifically ruling in or out people from outside the Anchorage Bowl. The Peninsula and the Matsu Valley medical communities are growing, fortunately, and they've been growing very successfully over the last several years. And it's my understanding that many of the clinicians in both those communities are seeing Medicare in a decent proportion. But I expect that as Medicare reimbursement continues to be a tenuous issue for most clinicians, we may see access problems in those communities as well. Fairbanks is offering access to Medicare patients with reasonable openness at the moment, but it too has been challenged to ensure that Medicare patients get primary care. I'd like to commend those clinicians in our community who do continue to see Medicare patients. Many of our colleagues in the private practice community are seeing high numbers of Medicare beneficiaries, and I recognize that that's hard. They don't have the deeper pockets of a large institution, and they don't have those extra incomes that come through, again, the ancillary studies that a hospital can glean to help underwrite this kind of an effort. So I do want to commend the private practice community for continuing their care of these clients.
You've been listening to KSKA's A Closer Look. Today, featuring Dr. Tom Hunt discussing the new Senior Care Center on the Providence Health and Services Alaska campus in Anchorage. Dr. Hunt is the Physician Chief Executive of Providence's Physician Services Organization, which will run the clinic. The center was created to be a primary health care home or clinic for Medicare clients 55 years or older who have not been able to find a clinic or physician in Anchorage who will serve them because of low Medicare reimbursement. As Dr. Hunt said at the beginning of the program, health care professionals estimate there are approximately 13,000 Medicare beneficiaries living in the Anchorage Bowl who do not have a primary medical home. If you are one and are interested in the center, to make an appointment, get on the waiting list, or simply want more information on the clinic, those 55 years of age or older, or inquiring for a friend or relative, may call 212-3420. Once again, that's 212-3420. A Closer Look is a production of KSKA-FM in Anchorage, Alaska. For KSKA, this is Len Anderson. Thank you for listening.